Welcome back to the Wine Outside the Crazy podcast. In case this is your first time tuning in, my name's Jenna Ray, and this is pretty awesome that you're tuning in this week because we are actually starting a brand new series because it's the holiday season. It's Christmas. It's red and white everywhere, lights flashing. Like, it's the wonderful time of the year. And so why not dive into what is Christmas all about and leading up to Christmas? So I decided to start a new series, which I don't know if I'll continue it the next years and stuff like that. But for this year, this is something that I thought would be really cool to do. And we're going to be doing a series of Advent, of leading up to Jesus's birth and to Christmas and what that's all about. So week one, just a little overview in case you are new to your faith and what is all this Jesus stuff, like who is Jesus, like who is God, like I have no idea. Advent is basically the season of waiting in anticipation for the birth of Jesus and celebration of Jesus for coming to earth. And if you don't know what that all means, is basically Jesus was born on Christmas, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. And so a lot of churches, they kind of go through each day. Sometimes it's by each day, sometimes by each week. And it's basically just a walking through to preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus and when Jesus arrived on Christmas. And so I figured that I was going to do a leading up to Christmas and just kind of like talking about what that all means, what it all looks like. And yeah, so let's jump into it. So Advent, the reason that we have Advent, like kind of what I was just talking about, is the preparing our hearts and preparing ourselves for the coming of the Messiah. And if we look all the way back in the Old Testament, different prophets, like the major prophets and like minor prophets, like the Old Testament talks about the coming of the Messiah. And then that's how we get the New Testament, is when Jesus is here and talks about Jesus' life and like everything that Jesus accomplished. But in the Old Testament, it talks about the coming of Jesus, when Jesus was going to be born and all this stuff. And the reason why people were so excited and anticipated for the Messiah to come is, like, if we look all throughout the Old Testament, it's like the people, they would turn to other gods, they would turn to idols, they would turn to look for anything and everything to sustain them instead of just being sustained in the one true God. And they're like, they wanted Jesus to come, they wanted the Messiah to come, because they knew when the Messiah was here that he would make everything right. Like, he would teach them how to live, he'll teach them how to love, he'll teach them basically how to be a Christian, like how to be a Christ follower. So I thought a good scripture that we could talk about that I really liked, and I don't know, as I was praying about it, this, I just felt God tell me to talk about the scripture, because it was just, as I continued to read it, I was like, yeah, this is really, really good. This is a really good point of how I want to start the Advent series. And so I'm just going to read it. This is more going to be like Bible time with Jenna. We're going to do a little reading, talk about it. And yeah, so if you have your Bible, if you're not, if you're driving, it's okay. You could just listen. But if you are listening to me and you can pull out your Bible, you can pull it out now. We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 46. And so a little backstory about the book of Isaiah is, Isaiah is one of the major prophets. And Isaiah, throughout the whole book of Isaiah, he basically was filled it with different warnings and rebukes of, like, this is how you're living. Like, this is, you need to turn back. Like, you're not living the way that God wants us to live. Like, you are completely messing up. Like, this is not how you're supposed to be living. That just kind of means, like, hey, this is how you're living. Like, you need to turn back. Like, this is not how God wants you to live. But, I'm going to read it real quick, and then we're going to talk about it. So I'm going to start in chapter 46 in verse 3. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I've upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he, and I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. With whom you will compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me, that you may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up on its place, and there it stands. From that spot, it cannot move. Even though someone carries it out, it cannot answer. It cannot save them from their troubles. Remember this. Keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, these of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I am make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that is pleased. So that was a lot to read and a lot to unpack. And so I'm excited to dive in and to kind of like walk through like what this means with you. And so the first point that I wanted to make was verses 4, kind of like verses 3 and 4. Isaiah talks about, even at your old age and gray hairs, I am he, and I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and will carry you, and I will sustain you and rescue you. Like, he's saying, like, you don't need to turn to these other gods. You don't need to turn to these other idols. Like, the one true God is what's going to sustain you and what's going to hold you. And you don't need to make this big, giant statue to worship or to carry around with you. Like, when you put your trust in Jesus and your trust in God, like, he comes and lives inside of you. So, like, it's no longer, like, you have to carry this big idol around with you. He's within you that you get to carry around. And so he talks about that in those verses, and then he jumps down, and he's just talking about fake gods and idols and idols and gods being made out of gold and silver, and them having to carry them on their shoulders. And I like this point where it says, even though someone cries out to it, it cannot answer. So that's the point of a fake god. It's like, you are worshiping this fake god and talking to this fake god. It's fake. So it can't answer you. That's kind of like when we were growing up and we might have had an invisible friend. I could say probably like at least one of us, or at least sometime in our life, we probably talked to an invisible friend or talked to ourselves or talked to somebody that wasn't there. And so like that's kind of like that. Like, you're talking to someone that's not there, that's not alive, and like that can't help you. Like, if they're not there, they can't help you. That's kind of like when you're talking to that invisible friend, they're invisible. Like, you can't, like, so to call your best friend up and be like, hey, I need you. Like, can you come over? Like, I'm crying on the floor right now. Like, your best friend's going to get in her car and come meet you there and be with you. Versus if you're talking to someone that is invisible and is not there, like, they can't do anything for you. So that's kind of like about this. It's like, you're crying out to this fake god, and you're crying out to this made-up statue, made-up idol that can't sustain you and that can't basically do anything for you. So it's like Isaiah's like, why are you doing this? Like, we have a God that can help you and can sustain you. And when you do cry out to him, he's listening and he can, like, hear you and wants to have a conversation with you. And so, a point that I wanted to make in verses 6 and 7 when it's talking about the fake idols and the gold and the silver. When I first read it, I kind of related it to like Christmas time. And Christmas time is all about, like, sometimes we get our holiday bonuses and we get a little bit more money in our pockets during the holidays to spend on family and spend on Christmas presents and to do fun things. And so a lot of times if we don't get that and like we don't get the cool new skateboard we want or the cool new iPad or whatever it might be, fill in the blank, like we're disappointed. And like the idea of like, that's not the whole point of Christmas. Like, yeah, you could really want to get your friend this cool new toy, or you want to get your sister this new sweater or this, and like you want to see those happy faces on your like your friends and your family's faces. But at the end of the day, when you strip that all away and you get to heaven, like you can't take any of that stuff with you. It's how was their heart? Did you, the friend that doesn't know about Jesus, did you tell them about Jesus so that they may be in heaven? Or did you just get them that cool new sweater or cool new gadget that just came out? Like, why are we so, I think I even get wrapped up in this too, because I've gotten so much stuff from my nieces and nephews, which might have spoiled them a little bit. But like, I even get wrapped up in this. It's like, why do we get so wrapped up in the gift giving for our nieces and nephews, and our families, and our moms, and our dads, and our brothers and sisters, and friends? And like, yeah, that's all cool. Like, that's one of my greatest love languages is to gift give to people. And like, that's kind of like how I show that I love them. It's like, hey, I know you this well that I know you're going to love this. And like, seeing that smile on their face like makes me happy. But when I step back and I think about it, it's like, wow, like I think sometimes we miss it. It's like the ultimate gift that we could ever give somebody that doesn't know Jesus is Jesus. And that was the ultimate gift that we had this for the very first Christmas, was God sent Jesus down into Mary as a virgin and then gave birth to him. And like, we were able to have Jesus, and Jesus grew up and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross for us. And like, that's why sometimes like we take that so for granted. It's like, yeah, we know this, but it's like sometimes I feel like we forget the importance of it. And it's just something that we say and that we do every single Christmas. So like, oh yeah, Jesus came. He was born for all of us and he's going to be the savior of the world. But like, when you actually think about it, it's like, that was the bestest gift that God could have given us. And it's like, why do we put so much other stuff above that? And like, I even, like, rest when I was, like, thinking through this before, like, this podcast is, like, I was wrestling with that. I was, like, man, like, all the times where I've wanted to do this thing or that thing, or I can do it. Like, it's, like, I forget the importance sometimes of Christmas and the Christmas holidays. Like, especially when you have like little kids, it's like you want to get your kids like the best Christmas. Like, you want to get them all the cool new toys and the cool new clothes. And it's like, yeah, that's cool and that's great and that's good and everything. But did you teach them about the Bible? Did you teach them about who actually was born on Christmas and came to save us and came to teach us how to live and to teach us how to love and teach us how to treat other people? But yeah, I just kind of like went on the whole rage there that I had, didn't, was not in my notes, but it's when the Holy Spirit's talking. You just let it go. But one of the other points I have is when it talks about in verse 8, remember this and keep in mind, take heart, you rebels, which you rebels always makes me think about. It's like when like you're a rebel, like you don't care what's going on. Like you, like you're going to do what you want to do. It doesn't matter if it's reckless. It doesn't matter if this is what you're supposed to be doing. And that's basically what these people were doing. Like they weren't living the way that God wanted them to live. And that's why Isaiah called them that. It's like, hey, you're reckless right now. Like you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're not following his plan. And so he's like, remember and remember that I am God and that there's no one other and there's none like me. And like, you don't need to turn to all the idols of, it could be an idol of a relationship. It could be an idol of a friendship. It could be an idol of a job, your family, your wanting to succeed in life. It's anything that you are putting more time into and more of your attention to than God. And a lot of times I have to kind of check myself with, because I want to be married one day. I want the family. But it's like, am I worrying more about that than what I'm called to do individually as a follower of Christ? And it's like, yeah, a lot of times I do have to check my heart. It's like, yeah, I want to be married. I want to have kids one day. But it's like, first, before any of that other stuff, I'm a follower of you, Christ. And I'm a follower of Jesus. And I'm made to do this plan that you have for me. And that's just something that I keep having to struggle with every single day, is checking my heart. And I think whatever yours is like, if you don't, maybe don't know what it is, like, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that for you and like search your heart of like, what might I be idolizing that I'm putting above you, God? And so yeah, I just, to end our time together, because I don't want this to be super, super long, but just some questions to think about as you're going in, finishing out this week and going into the next week, is what might have a place of idolship in your heart that you might need, that you might not have even realized that is an idol? And kind of like what I just talked about earlier, like that could be money, that could be friendships, work, happiness, it could be family, anything that is taking place of God on the throne, anything that you're looking to instead of looking to God first. And then another question is, are you allowing Jesus to carry you, and is he all of your life, or does he just fit into your life? In other words, are you allowing him to actually lead your life and to actually teach you how to live and like not just being, okay, Jesus, I need your help on this math test, or I need your help on how to work throughout this relationship that I have. It's like, no, I need you on the way to work this morning. I need you getting up out of bed this morning. I need you on making coffee in the morning, like every little mundane thing in your life. Like that's where Jesus should be, not just in the moments that you like, the serious moments per se. So yeah, what are you allowing Jesus to carry you, or is he just fitting into your life when you think you need him? And just lastly is, who can you tell this week about God's greatest gift, Jesus, and how can you show Jesus' love and kindness to them? Yeah, so you can just kind of write those down or just think about them. And yeah, thank you so much for tuning into this week. I'm excited for this series, and I'm excited to dive in deeper and as we get into the Christmas spirit and get closer to Christmas. And happy Thursday, guys, and thanks for tuning in, and hope you have a great rest of your week, and I'll see y'all next week. Love you guys. Bye.